Shall we just remain standing for prayer? Heavenly Father, again, we want to express our gratitude for the strength you've given us, Lord, the desire you've given us, the joy you've given us to come into your house. I praise, O God, and worship you, which we trust is now in spirit and in truth. And there is nothing amongst us, Lord, that has any spirit other than that one spirit, Lord, which is to glorify your great and holy name, and honor to prefer our brethren to shine as lights in this darkened world, Lord. That's our desire, Lord, and if we haven't attained to it, you have already made a promise that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We claim that promise, Lord, from you this day, that we might be that, O God, that you desire for us. We know by imputation, Lord, actual crediting, actual giving in the person of yourself. We have all these graces, all these virtues, all the fruit. Everything, Lord, is in thee, and we in thee, Lord, you and us, all that is there. But now, we would love to manifest it, Lord, the way you want us to manifest it, not by any of our own thoughts, Lord, what we would like to do, because surely we would have many thoughts contrary to you, as is shown by the scripture. And by the prophet, Lord, man has always run contrary to God. But we, Lord, want to run with you, to walk with you, to be one with you, Lord. That's our prayer this morning. You're the one who can help us, and you're the one who will do it, because that's already been set forth, that you are the author and finisher of our faith. And we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Crucified with Christ, help us, Lord, to be in that position this morning. And open our hearts and our minds, we pray, that may be filled with your word, the spirit word of this hour. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're back again with the message, the unveiling of God. And as usual, some of these messages take a whole lot more time than we think they will take, particularly in light of what we think the subject matter is going to cover. We always find that that subject is much more important than we originally thought. And I mentioned one time before that Brother Branham took 40% to 60% of all the time he preached concerning his own ministry relative to the word of this hour, witnessing through the word to the vindication God had given him, witnessing to God, witnessing to himself in that word. And he actually, at the end, spoke more on that very thing we are discussing now than perhaps he ever did. He at one time let a little hints drop here and there, but you'll notice he took whole messages on it. So our faith evidently is much more grounded and rooted in both this manifestation of the miraculous physical and the unveiling of that spiritual word. And I think perhaps that the simplicity lies in the fact that here, this is what God has said in his word. This is what God has done. We are a part of this hour, therefore we are part of this word. This is it. And I think that most everybody is, well, I don't know that most everybody, but I feel that too many, and perhaps we ourselves, are too concerned about the future, when the future doesn't mean anything anymore if time and eternity have blended. You know, what if that's the truth, then what is the big deal? All you can say, well, praise the Lord, we're in the mainstream of the fulfillment of God's word, happily on our way back to Eden, ready to be glorified. What more do you want? Well, I realize there's many things people want, such as a 10-room mansion, 14 Cadillacs, and a couple of million bucks worth of diamonds. You know, forget it. You're going to have all that and walk on it. You know, you may be, everybody, 5 billion people are scrambling right now to get a piece of Mother Earth, which is 5/6 water. Over on the other side, when this is, you know, some of the elements are burnt and the earth purified, I don't know that this earth is going to be any more than just about 100% land the way it was before. You won't have to scramble. And there won't be 5 billion people on it either. You don't have to worry about elbow room. You people are sort of reclusive, like to be alone. You'll be alone, yet not alone. Everybody will just have pretty well, have what God wants, and that'll be great. Brother Branham said, when you leave here, you don't leave here with your nature changed. You just get a different area to live in. Well, if you've got something that's truly scriptural in you, that's hungering and thirsting, and might not be fulfilled on this side because it cannot be, it'll be fulfilled on that side. So you see, you're in the mainstream now, and I say mainstream because starting with Luther, the waters came from the eastern gate of the temple, spiritually speaking, up to the ankles, then it went to the knees, under Pentecost to the thighs, and now it's waters to swim in, but you don't have to swim. It's waters to float in, and the tide will carry you over. Now, you won't even have to use a dead man float because you use a live man float, which is where God's Spirit takes you over. So everything is very propitious. Everything is very wonderful. Then again, too, you know, the Bible has told us concerning wisdom. And this is the hour of great wisdom, Brother Branham says, and it's very true. A lady the other day just quoted that to me when I was in the up there getting some chelation. She says, you know, the Bible said as the hour approaches the end time, she said, the people are wiser and weaker. And I thought, now where did she get that from? I didn't argue. I said, that's 100% right. I said, that's true. I said, we're living proof of four generations. My wife and I are way hardier than our daughter. And our daughter is hardier than her daughter. And she's hardier than her two kids. Four generations. I don't know what's going to happen to those little 7-year-old, 5-year-old kids. I just pray for them, that's all. That's all you can do for your own. They're completely mush now. They're gone, unless God does something supernatural or they begin to change their lives and all. Brother Bannon said, nothing left in the soil. So, but we've got a wisdom that transcends all of that. Because we have a wisdom which is from above. Because remember, the last voice that speaks is the one who is from heaven. Comes on down here and delivers the word of God. And remember, that word is not delivered in vain, because the word of God is never in vain. Now, our word is in vain. In vain do you worship me, having your own ideas. But he said, my ideas are I myself, and I'm duty-bound to bring it forth. So everything is very propitious. And you'll see more and more of this as we talk about the unveiling of God. I want you to come more and more into this understanding, as I said on the previous Wednesday night of reading some notes, that I'm a little concerned we have missed the impact of the super miraculous, where Brother Branham said, if you only know who I am, you'd all be healed. Well, that just, he said it was gone. Well, who are you? That's a very good question. Was he speaking in the first person, God speaking in the first person through Brother Branham, using his voice, and Brother Branham heard himself say it, or a thought given by God to Brother Branham? Or was Brother Branham saying, if you only knew I was Elijah of this hour? Well, now he said, Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, our Moses is Christ. Speaking of Exodus. Well, what's he doing? He's not saying, I am not here. Look at me. I am that person. He's saying, I am identified, and I am the prophet bringing this to you. And what do you want for your nickel? What do you want for your spiritual experience? What do you want? You say, well, I want God to talk to me. Well, God is talking to you. Where have you been? What are you doing? So, well, I want it my way. You just blew it right there. Yeah. All right. On a read. The very title of this message, Unveiling of God, sets forth that God is hidden from mankind, and that the prophet, the preacher, the bringer of this message, is going to remove the veils so that God can be seen, whatever that actually means. Right? So God, William Branham is going to do it. So well, I think that maybe you, will you just shut up? And quit thinking. You just quieten down. That you're not going to hear from God or see God or get anything unless that man is going to do it. So, well, that's just the topic he's going to do. And there's a group over here and there's something over there. And there's something I can get. Fine, you blew it. You blew it. Because now you don't have an absolute. You got a bunch of goofy chickens running around. Let me just tell you something. I don't mind wasting a little time. Don't mean to be facetious in the pulpit here, but Brother Ungren phoned me the other day and we were talking about my diet. And I said, well, I said, I can eat turkey. I said, if I like turkey. Well, he said, you know, there's, I read something about turkey having something that's very good. I said, yeah, it's tryptophan. Yeah, he said, tryptophan. He said, isn't that something that, he said, that's something that helps the brain. Well, I said, it sure didn't help the turkey. I wonder maybe if it's doing me any good. Now you get the point, a bunch of turkeys. Not just chicken, a bunch of turkeys. So let's understand now. The way of the Lord is His way, not our ways. And we're in the eagle class. If we are, we hear the scream. Now we might have been an egg down here. or laid an egg. Might be out there in the barnyard picking manure with the chickens. Which is one step worse than, well, I don't know, it's any worse than vomit. There's an accusation in the Bible of people eating vomit in this hour. All tables were full of it. So I wouldn't want to be the authority on any of that stuff. Thank God. I'd certainly be the authority, if the Lord allows us to be, on the heavenly manna. All right? The title of this message sets forth that God is hidden from mankind and that the prophet is going to remove the veils, or that which hides him, so that God can be seen, whatever that actually means. It couldn't mean that he's going to come into view where you can shake his hand or look him in the eye or something along that nature. In Acts 17:22-31, Paul took it upon himself to do this very thing. So we're going to go to Acts 17 and just read a couple of verses. That's all that's necessary. We'll read 22 and 23 because that pretty well gets the picture. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all these things you are too superstitious. Superstitious Gentiles. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, therefore whom you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now there's the picture. Ignorant of God as to the true knowledge, to the truly seeing him. And he said, "You're worshiping him ignorantly, and I will declare him to you." Then verses 24 and 25. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." All right? You'll notice in here that Paul, in these verses 24 and 25, strips away the veils of worshiping God by spiritual ignorance, which God does not tolerate. Thus we learn a very important premise. God is made known or reveals himself by the Word, because Paul said, "I'm going to declare him. I'm going to reveal him through the process of word power, so that you will see by hearing, by understanding." See? So God is made known or reveals himself by the Word. That Word tells it all. And that Word is given to certain men only. But God's revealed Word has always been set aside, only received by a few, then set aside, and soon there is no revelation that is correct. In Acts 13, we have another illustration, and it might be good to go to Acts 13 and take our time and read it. As much as I don't like reading a tremendous amount of Scripture, if I can more or less stop from it. We'll start reading at verse 1. "Now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers." And you know, these are sub-prophets, not real prophets like Barnabas, Paul. "As Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manning, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul, for they were going to have called them. When they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands and sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed in Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." Now, whether that was John Mark, some people think it was, or the apostle, I wouldn't know. "And when they had gone through the islands unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, thou wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord." Notice that, "wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord." See, that's throwing something against the truth and stopping it right there, and then when it's no longer the truth, it just won't work. "And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist of darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand." Now that types, of course, spiritual darkness at the end of the hour when we go into spiritual darkness. "Then the deputy, when he saw it was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." Now you'll notice in here this manifestation cleared the air as to who had what. Now you see, it doesn't work today. This man here was a very simple heathen. Now, you've got a lot of Christian heathens. They're not simple anymore. They're so tied up in their ramifications of their traditions and doctrines, where this turned it. Of course, the man was elect, you understand. how many turned today? And notice that being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. This was the doctrine of the Lord. The doctrine of God was backed up. Literally backed up. Was literally vindicated. See? God has to stand behind His Word. But you notice He doesn't stand behind His Word the way men want Him to stand behind His Word. If God stands behind the Word the way He wants His Word stood behind. Now this was enough right there to do everything that was necessary for a man's faith. Because remember, this man had to be turned from his superstition, which was demanded at that juncture period, and could go down in history where men would believe and say, look, it took place then, that does it. See? Now, when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departing from them returned to Jerusalem. Evidently, that's John the Revelator then, that John. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, men of Israel, you that fear God, give audience. All right, now he's going to give his revelation here. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, and exalted the people, when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about, in other words, he gave them preeminence over years, and when they got in bondage, he brought them out with a high arm. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners and the wilderness. Now, what was the high arm that brought them out? The pillar of fire and a prophet. Remember, his own arm wrought his salvation, which was Jesus Christ, by means of flesh for redemption. The arm is still Jesus Christ by means of power. And Jesus Christ is with us today in the form of the pillar of fire, the form of the Holy Spirit in the pillar of fire. All right? He suffered their manners in the wilderness many years, 40 years. And when he destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Now notice here. You say, well, weren't there prophets there before there were men that spoke as prophets, but not like this prophet? That's why this prophet is mentioned in Acts 3 for our hour. See? I mean, we just hold our finger there and run back to Acts 3 just for a second and see that. And it says here, 19, the middle of 19 verse, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, that's revival is going to come, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed or preached or named in advance unto you, that he's going to come. But the heavens must retain him after that period of revival. Now see, the revival's got to come first to catch your attention. Until times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. All right. For Moses truly said unto you, unto the fathers, the prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him you'll hear in all things whatever he shall send you. And it shall come to pass every soul not hear that prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Remember, God always was his own prophet. Now, yea, at all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after. Now, you notice he jumps from Moses, so this man, someone's going to rise up based upon Samuel. Now, you can't base Jesus on Samuel. He only was a part. There's no place where Samuel was the type. He's in the ministry. But like unto Moses. So now you got a man here whose major qualification is not to bring the word, but is to judge the word. That is to say, set his approval on what the revelation of that word is and discern. And remember, Brother Branham always quoted Samuel. When did I ever defraud you? When did I take your money? When did I take your horses or your mules? Or when did I ever do anything? He said, put a finger on me, if you can. Couldn't do it on his character or anything else. So you couldn't do it. See? All right. Let's go back again until Samuel the prophet. Notice now, that's where we are right today. And afterward, they desired a king. And we will get our king right after our Samuel, our Elijah. See?
After our son of man, what's next? King. He already is king. But he's not in that office yet. That we want him to manifest in. Humanly speaking, on a throne in the millennium. Right? But he already is king. He's king of our hearts. And he's king of the universe because he does whatsoever he wills. And the armies of heaven and earth, he's the one that's going to lead us in the millennium. He's our great general. He always was a general. As soon as he brought anything into manifestation, he brought hordes of myriads of angels. And he's their general. He ruleth in the armies of heaven and the earth. And no man can deny him. He's absolute dictator. The wrath of man shall praise him. The remainder of wrath he shall restrain. All right. Afterward, the desire to king, God gave him Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. To him also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man of my own heart, who shall fulfill all my will. All right? Who fulfilled all the will of God? Jesus did. There's a man after his own heart. Now, he's got to be there as high priest in the form of the body, while the great God himself is down here bringing all things under the control, ready to incarnate himself in that body and come back with us in the millennium. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel, a Savior, Jesus. And that's right. He comes down through the lineage of David. And remember, it's got to come through a woman. But it comes down through David on his side. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. All right, now there you are. John had preached it, and John said in order, that's John the Baptist. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Who think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and the rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Now you see, there's something right there that the Jews will still not take any blame for. They'll say, no way, that's a bunch of hogwash. Don't you try to sell him as God to us. Now, they may turn around, and some of them said, well, we boo-booed because he was a prophet. We should have listened. Well, what's Messiah to be but a prophet? See, they still cannot see the scripture being fulfilled in the death of a person because they cannot understand how God could accept a human sacrifice for blood when that is contrary to the Word of God. They can't do it. Like eat my flesh and drink my blood. No way. They couldn't drink blood, period. Even after the Council of Jerusalem, what should we tell the brethren? How should they conduct themselves across the board? Because the Gentiles aren't under law like we were. They said, well, tell them to refrain from adultery and from things strangled and drinking of blood. Now, and ask, where'd they get that from? No doubt they got it from God on a permissive basis. Because it wasn't spoken in the first place. When Moses went to God over the man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day, that was right in the book there. Don't you gather sticks on the Sabbath day. It's all done on the day before. And so it came back according to a word. All right, the word was in there, no strangle and no blood. What does that obtain? If it does, what does it obtain for? You can't do anything else but put it almost to a dietary law or some type of a type when all types are fulfilled. Now, you don't put a pot of blood here, something trying to say, let's not eat this. But you wheel in the communion table and the elements and the little tubs and do it, and towels and do feet. And drink. So I don't know what it's all about too much, except just don't do it because they said so. If it's in the Bible, I'll take it. I wouldn't want it anyway. Yeah. So much for your blood sausage. Yeah, I know that it was eaten by a lot of farmers and people, but you just, if it's doubtful, as used to say, it's dirty. If it's doubtful, it's not a faith, leave it alone. All right? Now, they condemned him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled, what was the cause of his death? Jealousy and envy. Jealousy and envy, that's what it was. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Now, he was seen about 500 people. And he was seen about 40 days. All right. But God raised him dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Now notice the begetting is the resurrection. Now you've been begotten again in your soul and spirit, but not your body. You're waiting to be begotten from the earth, which has already been redeemed by the blood. You're waiting for that fulfillment. So that's a begottenness too. And it's a real beginning again too. And it's a real rebirth again. Now some people get so mixed up, they get these all mixed up. They just simply go to one and leave the rest. We don't, anything we can find out from the Word of God and the prophet taught and how it comes together, we just claim it all, brother, sister. I tell you what, if you got the right nature, you can't help but be like the person that owns a pecan tree. And you, maybe a whole bunch of them. You get one of these nut shakers out there, and he goes, he moves that tree around until all those nuts come down. And maybe there's a few on the top. You say, I want to get them down too. Why? Because it's nuts. Good pecans, good walnuts, good almonds. That's a good word of God. You shake the book until it all comes down in your lap. You don't say, well, hey, I think I'll leave part of this. You do. You got a jaded appetite. You got something in there that wants some little finagler thing in there, and we don't want that. See? All right? And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Well, what's that? He rose to be the executor of his own will, and to bring every single thing to pass, he doing it. We don't only have a surety in Jesus Christ risen, we have God himself. And the same God that started the redemption is here finishing it. I'm Alpha and Omega. He came down and he put a sword there in order that they couldn't get to the tree of life, and now he put another sword that we can get to the tree of life. See? You got Alpha and Omega. It's balanced out perfectly. There's no problem here. See, these are what Brother Branham tried to bring to us all the time in order to thoroughly convince us. In other words, bring us to the assurance of faith. This is not our faith. This is the faith of Jesus Christ himself. This is God's own faith that is manifested. So that we can rely on it, not our own. Therefore, any faith sensibilities you have of your own, you can put by the board. And say, well, I'm a happy onlooker. See? All right. Wherefore, you also another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Which he didn't. For David, after he'd served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all the believer are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, just a minute. There was nothing that the law of Moses could not justify you from, in the sense that God would say, all right, the sacrifice takes care of it. Looking forward to Jesus Christ. But remember, as I said the other day, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were innocent. They were not righteous. We are not innocent. We are righteous. Now, that may sound very peculiar. But Brother Branham categorically said, you didn't even do it at all. So therefore, if we didn't do it at all, and yet we had done it, it all falls back on Satan. Someplace down the line, we were guilty, because the Bible said the guiltless for the guilty. So we're not innocent by any stretch of the imagination, because we're born in sin, committed the world speaking lies, just like Brother Branham said. But when Brother Branham said, as the judge told him to say, oh my, listen, everybody would like from all around the world to know that Brother Branham had the authority to say this, little bride, you're the virtuous, sinless, spotless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. I no longer call you a church. I call you bride. Don't call you saint. Oh, they'd love that. If William Branham had gone there and identified himself with them and said that, but he didn't. He identified himself outside the city gate. You bet. Outside of old Babylon. Dirty old Babylon. Prostitutes beckoning day and night. Come on our way. Give you good pensions. Give you this and give you that. Give it to the apes. Don't give it to us. They'll take over. We don't something that we're going to take over. Who needs our Cadillacs or anything else? See? All right, justified in the law of Moses. Brother Brandon said there wasn't a divorce, a complete remitting. As though they hadn't done it. See? And under Moses' law, it wasn't that way. Because you had to keep coming back. Although looking forward to Christ, if you died the next minute, you're all right. Listen, poor old David got caught up in his lust. Just too much lust, that's all. Just like his son got the same way. Too many women, the whole thing botched up. Too much booze, everything else. He killed a man to get, he took the poor little woman and I don't know what her thing it was, but I guess she couldn't turn the king down or something. I'm going to argue that case. The thing is, he was wrong and he killed the man. Thought he got away with it. Now, do you think he's any less a man after God's own heart? Do you think he's any less a type? Well, you do what you want. You see your mind go blooey. Well, there's only one perfect person. And is it the extent of the sin that counts? No, he that fends in one point is guilty of all. And what if you fended in one keen at a point? Like, one day you got envious. You coveted your neighbor's livestock. Well, you're shot right there. You don't have to kill the neighbor and get his wife. But you might as well if you think you're justified. See? So I want to get you to understand the difference here. They could look forward to perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord. But this is an hour when God himself reverberates with on the quarters of our soul with the voice of the trumpet from heaven. You are the sinless, righteous, perfect, didn't do it at all, bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, you know, what are you going to do with that? Now, either you believe it or you don't believe it. Either you believe you have become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ or you don't believe it. See, this is where we're at today because we're down at the end of the rope, the end of the line. And how in the world could Jesus be the head of a part illegitimate woman? No way, shape, and form. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken in the prophets. Now listen, here's the point I'm getting at. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Jesus came and performed his ministry, and explained it, and laid it out, and they killed him. Now, the prophets are perfect types of this. And they will declare the work of God in the generation. And the work of God for you and me is to believe on him. So if you are a man who understands grace and works, then the works is to believe. And that's the battle of Armageddon, which is the hardest of all. It's to pull the mind down to the place where it has nothing of itself, is completely denuded of its own ideas, and seeks out the ideas and understanding of God which God himself has confirmed. And it takes a man to do it. Though a man declare it unto you. That's where Brother Branham got his thought. It's a man. 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 They can't stand it. They got the spirit of hell upon him. Because Satan couldn't stand Michael. It's just another archangel. Just another archangel. Just another archangel. I'm bigger than he is. I'm smarter than he is. As he Satan led to understand in the worship of the heavenly host. Couldn't take it. And that's exactly where people are. It's very strange that the Roman Catholic mind can take it. So they must have a whole lot of truth way back there than the Protestants got today. As Brother Branham said, the Catholic Church is a mess in 2,000 years. The Pentecostals couldn't go 200 and be a bigger mess. And I say right now, not trying to mend the prophet, outshine the prophet, anything else. I believe right now they're just as big a mess, if not bigger. Because there comes evidence. And the Pope could speak in tongues, and I believe maybe this Pope did. I believe John 23 did. And I believe the Pope's after it spoken in tongues. And they're theologians, like Jacqueline Ford speak in tongues. And Father O'Connor, so-called. Yet honor a man in a way that perhaps we should have honored and in the spirit of Christ. Now, you carefully what I said there, in the spirit of Christ. You couldn't do what they do to the Pope, kiss his toe and everything else. But you honor the fact of the vicariousness. You honor the fact of a messenger. And we did not honor William Branham as we should have. We took him as a man of our level and our stature. Rather known as the scripture amply revealed to us through Brother Branham that the pillar of fire was in Moses and the word of God categorically said God was in the prophets. But I think perhaps the Pentecostalism of gifts of the Spirit, prophecies in the church, and the Janus and Jambres on the scenes blew the whole thing. And maybe now coming full term with Brother Branham, as he did, and I believe we are here to come back to this basic, we might have an understanding which is not only more appreciative of the prophet, but absolutely ironclad, stoneclad with the rock of revelation. And that's going to do something for us, brother and sister. Remember, the woman said, and Brother Branham brought it out so many times, the woman said to Elijah, was Elijah. No, it was Elijah. He said, go first and make that little bit of bread. He said, you got just a tiny bit there? Now, you got me beating it. That was Elijah, guess what? I always get puzzled on that. I think it was Elijah. Elijah did 8 miracles, but this one he went to the woman, there was a time of famine, and it had no rain or anything, and he said to the woman, he said, now look, he said, I know you got that tiny bit of meal, the tiny bit of oil, but you bake me that tiny loaf first. See? Now, nevertheless, it's your word. I'll go ahead and do it. Mary stood there, and the angel talking to her, she said, nevertheless, at thy word. She said, this thing's never been done, but at thy word, I'm going to believe it. So therefore here, a man declare it. Though a man declaring. Perhaps the reading of this scripture is not the best. In other words, the translation might not be the best. A work which you shall in no wise believe, because a man declares it unto you. Because it came through a man. Now they just said, hey, that's all right if we pick the man, and that's where Catholicism is. So it's not too far from Judaism. And it's not a ways off either from Protestantism. But the Bible says, blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Sure. And call it. The man that you appoint. See? That's why Brother Branham said, you could vote in the church for a pastor and vote in deacons and everything else. But he also condemned them in one place. He said, the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the majority, providing the majority is full of the Holy Ghost and listen to God. Haven't got access to grind. See? Where Brother Brand said, look for a woman that's got character, not sex appeal. Turn around and said, don't put the mayor of the city in just because he's somebody. See? That's right. Now, so we see Paul's message stripped off the veils of creeds and traditions in order that the true veil of God, which is the revealed word, could be known to the people. Now, first of all, you got to strip off the creeds, the dogmas, and these things to get to the true word. Now, you notice that Paul tried to strip them of their traditions, and he couldn't do it. See? And notice how they retaliated. They retaliated in anger to kill. See, the same thing that's in Cain. Why did he kill his brother? Because his deeds were evil. And the only thing he could do was to attempt to destroy, either by character assassination or by literal assassination. That's why lies are being told all the time, even amongst us. And we say, oh, I put that across the board. I don't mean in this church here or other churches I have in mind, but I have various things in mind. And they know better. Some are so steeped in arrogance that they believe they've got certain titles and certain things and certain things about them that, oh, they've got to come before the people. Look, I want to get away from the people. Why do you think I'm here instead of traveling around? Of course, you say, well, your health bugs you. That's true, my health does, but I'm not interested in being out there anymore. I'm not interested in anything too much except this one thing here. This word. Are we lining up? Do we see it correctly? Are we one with this word? Thus we can see God and His word are one. Let's go over this here again back here. See, we can see Paul's message stripped off their veils of creeds and traditions in order that the true veil of God, which is the Word, could be known. Thus, we can see God and His Word are one. Because if you get to the real Word, which would require revelation, then God has been revealed. He's been declared through the process of exegesis, made known, led forth by words. In fact, there's nothing that you can really impart to anybody outside of the basic of words. Now, I know you can sort of use sign language and get a person to follow you and many things, that's true. But if you want to get down to what is a reality, you have got to have some instrument of communication which goes beyond the demonstration. You see, teaching doesn't simply go to one process of showing. It goes to explaining. Okay? So you've got to combine the two of them. Now, how does a man do this? How does a man explain? How does he declare? How does he take what God has done or is doing See, how is it done? Well, since God has ordained a man to do it, he has stipulated in his word it will be a prophet. And since Hebrews 13:8 says that God cannot change, and Hebrews 1:1 says that God is in the prophets to do this, and God himself became the great prophet, then there is nothing that God can do by way of a true unveiling except he does it in a man. And the question is, what man? A prophet man. Where do prophets come from? Before thou wast formed in the belly, I knew thee. Brother Branham said, when you were in your father's genes, before you came forth, he said, you were there, but your father didn't know you and have fellowship with you. All right? That's the same that we're going to predestination by foreknowledge. Where was the prophet? Before he was formed in the womb. While he was in the father and mother. Okay, where did the life come from? Well, let's face it. There's a physical life and a spiritual life. And he breathed in out of the breath of life and the body began to move and so forth. There was an integration there. All right? It takes two to make a child. The woman does contribute. All right, let's say then there's a contribution of the physical genes, whereas the life coming from the male brings forth the complement of the other. Now, all right, we have then in a prophet. We have a prophet with peculiar characteristics which had to come from two sets of genes, the male and the female, in order to bring him to be the right man at the right time for the right hour. But it was way back there in God in the beginning. God has given us a prophet. And there's no other way it can be done because God has designated through Deuteronomy 18, that's how it must be done. But the church today, though knowing this, and don't tell me they don't know it because they can read the Bible like anybody else. I went for about 6 to 8 weeks to a little independent Baptist seminary up in Canada. And boy, did they know the Bible. They sure did. And they could put it together just right in a lot of places and just right to their own thinking. But I'd like to see what they do about this one. Well, I can tell you what they do. They say, well, that was for that day. What about Hebrews 13:8? They say, that's exactly right. God doesn't change, but we do. We got the unchanging word. Who needs it? So what about the fact that people have changed their minds about it? Well, you see, that's just a bit more light. What if you come to the place where man runs his course? Well, that'll never happen because you got the Holy Ghost. They got all the answers and they're all a bunch of hogwash. They're all lies. See? But the church today, though knowing this, repudiates any idea of a prophet needed to reveal God. Well, they say, this does it. We got it. We are exactly like Israel and want our own sign. What do I mean by that? Israel went to Moses and said, Moses, we cannot take this. It is just much too much. It scares us. Because we don't know which way God is going to go next. We don't know what God's going to do. This thunder up in the mountains, the light coming on down, this fire. This is too much. I tell you what, Moses, you tell God to talk to you, and then you talk to us. And God said to Moses, that's great, he said. That's exactly what I'll do. Now you notice man went to God to get his own way. Now that he's got his own way, he doesn't want it. So they said to Jesus, I tell you what, you give us a sign. He said, no, you got your sign. Okay? They didn't want a Messiah coming by a prophet. They wanted him to be a king in power, and then, in order to help the king, he'd be truly prophet. Because you see, if the king would know like Elisha about what's in the minds of the Syrians and where those generals are, then that'll make the king just everything. So you're going to have a king, and the main thing is king, 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 and the prophet lesser. Let's get news to you, brother, sister. The prophet's the great one. Because the prophet can make and break a king any day or any hour. David went plumb out of his gird, as you might say, plumb out of his line, his element, when he was king, dancing up and down. But he let man perform the carrying of that ark on a little cart instead of on the priest's shoulders. He blew it. He was too much king. And Israel wanted that, see? Saul prophesied and he blew it as king. And Solomon stood there truly full of the Holy Ghost just like a prophet and he blew it as king. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's a man called Samuel. He didn't blow it. There's a man called Paul. He didn't blow it. And there's a man called Jesus Christ. And he's going to be king. although always was, being God. But the great thing is the prophet. Now, you see, people could accept, they don't even want the judge. Or they wouldn't mind the judge if he judged their way. But you can't be judged by being a prophet. And as a king, you aren't worth two bits unless you are a prophet. Because you're going to blow it every time. You're going to go your way because you got the power. Remember, God has two faculties that we understand in the sense that we impute to him and readily, happily do so. Omniscience, omnipotence. Omniscience outside of omnipotence isn't very wonderful, although it's nice. And omnipotence outside of omniscience is a problem. But when you combine them with knowing what God's omniscience is, you've got wonderment. See? That's where we are today. We've got marvelous things going on for us. All right, listen. They went to God and said, give us the prophet. And God said, amen, amen. Now listen. The human race today is just as much stuck with Moses and what God gave him as we are stuck, and we know it, with what Adam gave us. You're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, in the world speaking lies, and you're stuck. You're stuck. And I don't care what you do, there's none of you who hasn't sinned. Everyone sitting here this morning backslides 1,000 times a day in your thinking because you can't walk on the streets or something else or get stuck in the traffic jam or anything, or even your wife's cold feet in the middle of your back, and your husband not meaning to but spilling coffee on the table, you're still drinking coffee, and you're bristle, proving you ain't got it, proving you do got it, but the wrong thing. You're stuck with it. Until the resurrection, though the day by day we're dying out and coming on with God, hopefully we believe that to be true. You are stuck with that, and so you are stuck with this. You need a prophet when God says so or nothing. Amen. See? And God is that prophet in all potential to you and me. And when he comes, brother, sister, remember that on TV when we didn't find TV so bad, the millionaire? Now, that was nice, clean TV. If it was all good as that, I wouldn't mind TV, but all the crud now, you better get rid of that stuff. It's just, when I'm on the subject, look at TV, sports on Sunday, working in things. Let's cut it down to the bone and get rid of it, brother, sister. Time's too short. See, but back in the old days, the millionaire, you know, I forget his name, it wasn't Cranston, that must be the Green Ape or something, the Horn or something, back in radio day. But anyway, this fella here, real nice guy. It didn't matter if he handed you the envelope, if there was such a thing with $1 million, or the man who had the million to give you and wouldn't hand you the envelope. So you see, if God doesn't want to be seen, he doesn't want to come down and say, here I am, shake hands, and we'll talk about this because Brother Brandon brings in, oh, great pillar of fire. We read that the other night. It had been a great pillar of fire running around. Oh, they might have looked at that, he said. But just because it was a man, they turned it down. Now look, let's understand this. God came and shook our hands when William Branham shook our hand. God walked across that platform and spoke when William Branham walked across that platform and spoke. Because that's how God does it. And he said, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receives me. Now we're going to get that down where that's not just the Holy Ghost. I've got quotes on that from the book of what do you call them? Matthew, when I get to it. See? Now, we have a prophet, as Amos says. God doesn't say anything or do anything until, first of all, he brings a prophet. Okay, so the so-called spiritual people can't cope with the manifestation of this hour that God has proved his appearing openly, not in pleasure but in rebuke, and expose them that they are wretched, miserable, naked, and blind when they feel they believe... Or they actually don't believe, but literally own God, got him in their pocket, as you might say, and have all the answers. They got all the answers. Now let's go to Matthew 15. And you see, I'm taking my time on this again. We might not get much of the sermon done, but this gives me that backgrounding again. I always like to go into because it does you good, it does me good. I'm interested, you know. All right, chapter 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, oh, the headquarters. What's going to happen when the big shots come down from Rome and the Babylon of this hour when they all get together? And I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, there's nothing like misery for company. And when it comes time to take those belts and tighten them, This is one time the world will really get together. You watch. Another one talking about the money system. And they're talking right now again more and more about how they're going to change the color of the money. And it's all set up now that they got a magnetic thread in it so that nobody can take them out of the country. And I kill steel. And I say, sure, that can happen. That can happen. They're not out to get the guy with a few $1,000 in his sock. They're out to get the big shots. But I spoke of one thing. 70% of all commerce in the world is done by American money. And the nations will thumb their nose at America. I still don't believe it till I see it. I could be wrong. Now, it doesn't say they're calling it in. Be dollar for dollar. So it could happen. I mean, like calling it in to get rid of it, give you 10 cents. Now, I'm pretty skeptical on that point. I'm not saying I'm right. So don't you listen to me as though I'm an authority. But you got to remember one thing. The authoritative thing is this. 70% of world commerce controlled by our money, our system, the nations, could default instantly if they do anything you want. How are you going to tell a nation right now where the horn is at? Italian government fell because of us over a stupid little incident. Italian's own fault, as far as I'm concerned. But it's America's fault, because you're already tipped off something's going to happen. So we're in a precarious position. But the nations can rise up and tell America where to get where to horn in any day they want. So America thinks they're pretty smart, but America's not that smart. Big shots will take over one of these days, so don't worry. They'll get together on the money system, I'm sure. That's what Brother Branham said. That's the way it's got to be. That's the way it's going to be. Why did thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? Now watch this one. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Now that washing of the hands was legitimate because God had his word. Eating fish is not legitimate. Most Catholics didn't even know that fish was not in their creeds and dogmas, except they found it hundreds of years back or 200, what it was, there was very little beef and lots of fish. So the Catholics said, well, let's have a lot of fish to eat and less beef. And so why don't we set a day aside, you can't have beef, and that'll help it, and there again, then we'll eat fish. Well, that's just nothing but rationing. That's not even yet. Now they find out in the 20th century and tell everybody, well, the theologians, they incorporated that, and it's not a part of our theology. That's just a time of there was a little bit of a problem. Well, this was in the word, though. They had to be careful. They had to do certain things. But they took this overboard. See, they took it too far. He answered and said, why did ye transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Now watch this. Here's the big one. What I read there. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curses the father and mother, let him die the dead. But you say, whosoever say to his father and his mother, it is a gift. But whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Now I don't know what that really means, but that to me sounds like something like the Roman Catholic doctrine, that if you commit adultery, it's okay long as you pay $10 for it. Drop it in the poor fund. That's right. No joke intended, that's a fact. You might charge $5 or $100, depending on what you think you're worth. So they could break the law back in Jerusalem and put something in the poor box or something in the money or some excuse, something about it. Hey, it's okay. And the funny thing is the Catholics hate the Jews and the Jews hate the Catholics. I don't understand. They're twin sisters. A couple of not naive old girls, a couple of, you know, they're kind of a... Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The Hebrew church was called a prostitute. So is the Gentile. Now he said, you have made of none effect by your tradition. Let's read that again. Thus you have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. That's trago, that you're coming across God's word with your own saying. Crossing up God's word by your own saying. So you like extradite, you bring him out. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws nigh with me with their mouth, honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Then people will try to tell you, you don't need to know doctrine in this message. You better know doctrine. You better know doctrine. You better know what's going on, what's being said by the prophet. You better know we're in the appearing. You bet he's appeared. He's been appeared for years. And you better believe he's here as far as my books and say, well, Brett, he was here in the presence. God was here in the prophet. That was present. But Brother Branham said when God left Moses, he was no longer God. He was just Moses. And Brother Branham said, lay in the presence of the Son until you mature and cure and be right. Where's Brother Branham? He better come back. No, he's not going to come back until the appointed hour. Don't worry. You show me where he came down and left us. You show me where he abdicated headship of the church to raise the dead. You show me he's not going to take us up. You show me where he's not, Hebrews 13:8. Brother, it's about time people realize a few of these things. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. See? That's why preachers better watch and teachers, because they lay things out here as commandments. If you can't quote the prophet right down and trace it through the word the way he did, just lay off. And he called the multitude and said, "Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Oh, he said, "I apologize very, very deeply. I'll kiss their feet." Did he say that? Here's what he said. "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." So much for the apology. How can you apologize for the good word of God? It's like a one man one time that once said before, he said, "Homiletics is the art of public speaking, of which sermonizing or preaching is the highest order." And he said, "Don't ever, ever go before a group of people and thank them for your ability, for your preaching a sermon or giving something to them. They should be thanking you." I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about this. The apostles were so gross, they thought Jesus, having hurt somebody, should apologize. And there are many people right today who think love is that kind of a love. Not in the Bible, it's not, brother. You have lost your love if you're going to apologize for truth. Now, you may apologize if you hurt the person. Well, I'm sorry that you are offended. But nevertheless, as Paul died for what he said, if I had to die for what I say, I might not be a Paul. I might recant, but in my heart I know that I'd be like Galileo. The world's still around. It's going around the sun. Whatever that means, I don't know. The assured voice of science leaves me cold these days. It can't do a thing for you. This does everything for you. Gets you out of the, puts you in the grave safely, gets you out of the grave safely. You let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, see, he was warning you. Now, you say he wasn't very sweet to his apostles. He sure was. He said, "Look, you want to follow that bunch of me?" He told them, "I'm the light of the world. He that followed me shall not walk in darkness, but the light of light." They knew where they stood. Now they're going to apologize to this bunch out here. Now, Jesus didn't tell them to come by and hear him and invite him in. They came by and listened on their own. Like that guy in Florida. He was ridiculing me pretty well. They're trying to bluff me at the back at the church door. And he says, "Hey," I said, are you fussing at me because I believe Brother Branham, what I preach?" He says, "Yes." I said, "Look, son, get your own soapbox. This is mine. I paid for it." Buzz off. He said, "That's not love." Well, Lee Vail kind of maybe didn't say it was God's love or anybody else. Fiddlesticks. Why should I fool with that nonsense? You know? It wasn't raunchy to the guy. Just told him the truth. I got the crowd here. You get your own crowd. I see it happen time after time years back. That's why I quit going to certain churches. No way would I ever go back. No way, because I say they knew that a bunch of folk would come and listen, and they'd try to take over. So that was the first and last time I was in their doors. And the guy that did it continually to me, I lost all confidence, and I went back with him again. No way, shape, and form. You see, you could have lost somebody. Oh, come on. God doesn't lose any sheep. I'm not gone. See, let them alone. Then answered Peter and said, "Declare unto us this parable." Wasn't any parable at all. He said, "Are you without understanding it? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the belly, is cast into the draft? And those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man." All right, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. And what's an evil thought? There's no more evil thought in this world than to contradict a revelation, because it is a Cain who is a murderer. Notice evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, and right, notice the order. Fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. If you eat without unwashing hands, it doesn't do it. Now, if you had a tradition, a little mechanical thing like this, that's all right. But when you cut against the Word of God and deny the truth of the doctrine, then out of your mouth has come, out of your heart, and the words that you say concerning this very thing we're talking about, the word destroyed, mutilated, added to, taken from, is an evil thought that brings murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. Follow his mouth. That's why Brother Branham could preach marriage and divorce and know this. Get in this right and it's over. Do you hear what I said? It doesn't need repeating. But if you want to repeat it, I'll tell you. When he preached marriage and divorce, this is what he laid down. There is a way that we can marry and live with their wives godly, the whole bit. But get in this word. The word will do it. You say, Brother Bill, what have I got then? Not enough word. I don't have enough word. You don't have enough word. Now, where is it going to come from? Understanding who and what said it. We're simply believing, oh, this is some kind of word of God. This is not some kind. This is the word of God.
Amen.
This is not just some prophet. This is the prophet. This is the visitation of Malachi. I knew I'd break something before it's over. This is what we're breaking into. If we're going to go anywhere, we've got to have a basic understanding and not just fooling around with little ethereal thoughts. The ethereal thoughts aren't worth two bits. God has come down to the mud. And think of the power of the blood. He could come right down here. Divestor himself concerning that, not element, but dimension. Come here to this dimension. Down to our level. Use our brother, which is his. Become one of us again, as it were. Stand there as the prophet judge and say, I don't condemn you, then give us the keys. Once more to the kingdom. He said the great thing always was, he said, marriage and divorce and remarriage and all that sort of stuff. And you see it right here laid out in this word. Where does it all come from? When Eve got off that first word, she brought the whole thing on everybody. She brought the evil thoughts that Cain had, the evil deeds that Cain had, all those old, beautiful, supercilious righteous. Like the Catholic Church. I'm not fussing at them, just giving you some illustration, because Protestants do the same thing, but they do it more open. The Catholics demand more money. They're smart. Shucks, if you're going to make money, make money. So Frank Sinatra now wants to be married to this Marx woman, whatever, I don't know if her name was Marx, because she married Groucho or somebody, I don't know. God knows I don't, and I care less. But I do know that he insulted his whole family, destroyed his wife's integrity, and the Roman Catholic Church did it, because Sinatra's a big shot. Big what? Fat. Balloon. Hardly equate him to that. But it was annulled for enough money or prestigeism. Protestants was no different. Then you tell me, Brother Bannon hit marriage, he hit marriage and divorce just exactly where it is, and he hit everything else where it is too, my brother and my sister. Greed, incontinence, concupiscence, malice, envy. All through their wicked, adulterous creeds and dogmas. He said, the preaching. Let's get this back. He said, what comes out of a man's mouth comes out of his heart. Now, how do you commit adultery with your mouth? You commit it with your sex organ, but it starts with the mouth. Go back to the garden. Take the one word. One word off, one word on. You see why Brother Branham inadvertently told a lie, then went and drove 200 miles to Cricket when a phone call could have done it? I don't have the guts to do it. I hope I do, but I don't know this time. Somebody evidently, when he went into Arizona, someone had put some nuts into the trunk when the trunk lid was open. They came to the Arizona border, which they checked your cars. You know they do. They said, do you have any plants? Do you have any nuts? Do you have any fruit? Do you have this? Do you have that? If you do, you must be confiscated and destroyed, because they want their land kept as pure as it can be kept pure from those diseases, Mediterranean fruit fly and all the other junk, you know, has been brought into America. Brother Branham said, no, he said, I don't have a thing in the car. He said, I haven't bought a thing and so on. He got home. He found about two pound bag of pecans or something. He said, oh my, he said, I lied to that man. He said, I got to go back and tell him I lied. I got to get it made right. Billy Paul said, no. He said, Dad, he said, that's 200 miles. But he said, son, he said, it doesn't matter. I'm going back. And his dad went back. A phone call could have done it. Actually, going down to Tucson somewhere could have done it. Now, he had to go back where you and I might not have had to go back, but would you and I have done what he did? Basically, done something about the fact wherein we had done wrong. Now, you see, I'm not trying to bring up legalists. And I'm not trying to be a legalist. That will not get you out of heaven or anything else. But it could stop. All a lot of things we're doing could stop us from getting into a more blessed position, because remember, Paul, John's prayer, and remember, he was that great apostle of love and the very godly, wonderful person leaning on Jesus' breast. He's the one that said, I wish above all else that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I have one prayer to God, and I must admit it. since I know more and more, the prophet said this. He said, receive this message of healing as healing. Well, look, that healing has got to be inside. And I pray, God, that my soul may prosper to the place that my body can prosper. Because other than that, it won't do away with a lot of good. And we're still out of balance. We're still out of symmetry. We're still like the harlot that can go be in the prayer line. Or the wicked person can go and say, stand on the brother and say, hey, great, and like that bleed, and walk through here. What for? To go back to the adultery? Now she gives the person healthy sex instead of the unhealthy sex. Come on, brother, sister. Pardon my language. It's cutting at times. Not to cut anybody here. It's cutting down the road in order to make us see if the best we possibly can. I hope we can see. I don't know. All right, now look at here. This is where it all came from. All right, now we're going to go back to paragraph 209, which is page 32, and we'll just take the one paragraph and we're going to quit at this point, because I think our time would be pretty well run out. So now in this age is when the old denominational and traditional veil has been rent from the Word of God so it can be manifested. Now it tells you it was not done before. Now this will go over like a lead balloon. Now, if you're a child of God, you can sit this morning and say, hey, I'm a Pentecostal traditionalist. I'm a Baptist traditionalist. I'm a Mennonite traditionalist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Church of God, a Church of Christ, a this or that or the other thing. Traditionalist. And this is the hour that if there's something wrong with the word that I believe I know, see, now I said, notice the word that I believe I know, not the word that God knows and prophets wrote, see, but that word that you're looking at and you say, I got my understanding. I want that veil ripped off. I want it torn away. In other words, I want the grave clothes of my Lazarus to be ripped off because Lazarus is here, alive, but there's no movement. He's not been loosed. Christ cannot be loosed amongst us until those traditions are all gone. And let me say this, I believe the animation of God in our midst is equally proportionate to the loosing, not inversely. It's quickly proportionate. Like I mentioned, that bottle of water, that bottle is full of rocks. And the guy turns the hose on and he said, hey, I got a bottle full of water. Oh, no, you don't. You see? Now, you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, but you're not full of the Holy Ghost. See, because you got to get some of them rocks out. Now, those rocks are not hard to get out if you begin looking at the stature of a perfect man, which took me years because he died. And I'm very, you know, look, I stand up here very honest before everybody. I spill my guts and I don't mind. You do what you want because I'm not going to be a hypocrite. See, that sermon bugged me, and I mean bugged me, because it was legal to me. And not only legal, it was horrible in the impact that it completely undid me. See, merciful God, where am I anyway? I go back in line and say, now look, add to your faith virtue. That was power. Well, I did that. I can tell you what it was. And I'd let you know, certain men boasted that they began doing this in 1970 or so. I did that way back in 1952. Before 52. I did in 1950 when I went back ministering. I said, God, I'll never minister again until I pray for sick and I see results, because I've got to stand in faith and I've got to stand in power. There's no way. Now, I don't mean to say I'm not trying to compare myself, but I'm trying to let you know, look, we look at this so many different ways and so many ideas. And we've got to look at the way the prophet did it, not the way you and I think. Now, he said, look, you don't have a thing to do with them as to their inception or conception. They are birthed into you. You already have in you the seed, and you do have for the complete manifestation your faith, and your virtue, and your knowledge, and your temperance, and your kindness. And what's the other one? There's six there more, and there's six, and then you get seven, and you come to eight. It doesn't matter anyway. I could look them up in 1 Peter. But they're all in there, see? Now, look, you are being full of the Holy Ghost to the genuine baptism, where you become an actual idol, the stature of a perfect man, a walking image, when you let all these come into your life. Now, you won't go around healing the sick. Brother Branch, everybody doesn't pray for the sick. But it is in there in the complete knowledge of God who does this. And that modicum, a portion, is in you. And you believe in it. And you're willing to do it. You stand with it. And you grow in it. Like Brother Branham said on the tape when we read it, the other day. He said, now, he said, I'm anointed up here, and he's going to pray for the sick and call you up. But he said, you've got to be anointed to it to believe it. How do you get anointed to it? By reading what the Scripture says about it. So you begin to cultivate your mind in the realm of healing. Get Dr. Bosworth's book on Christ the Healer. Get T.L. Osborne. Get any of them. Get Simpson. Get your Bible. Start reading. Watch your faith begin to move. So you see then faith and virtue. See, they're growing. They're in there. Now you're going on to what is it? That temperance. I don't know what it is. I could look it up. But you're going on. Every one of those is in there. See? So therefore now, your old rocks have been superseded by the new rocks, revelation of what you have attributes. And then you capitalize on those attributes by believing it and giving room for them. Now you're getting more and more full of the Holy Ghost. Then God has control of you. Now I'm going to preach it, brother. If I die tomorrow and haven't got it, I'm going to preach it. It's there. And I don't care if all of you deny it. That's your business. Act what you want. It's still there. This world has already been judged in righteousness by one Christ Jesus. We've got an infallible word. They say when that man walked across the platform, God walked across that platform because he was in him. You weren't looking at the man. You're looking beyond the man. You're looking at God. You shook hands literally you shook hands with God, God in a man. People shake hands with you, they shake hands with what God you got in you. Because you're a temple, you're a tabernacle. But now to become the living image. See? We're aiming toward that. Get rid of the traditional veil. Get rid of Pentecost. You say, well, I don't really understand God yet. It's true one God. That's all right. There is one God. Let it go with that. Don't understand the mystery. He says, well, that's fine. I don't understand the mystery, but I know there's one God. Explain it. I just told you can't. In other words, you blot out all the thinking contrary to it. Brother, sister, Jesus, on the cross, blotted out the handwriting and ordinance which was contrary to us. This is a part of that contrariness. It's gone, counted gone. Rid your mind of those things the prophet said. If it's contrary, forget it. So I can't answer it. Get out of here. See? Jesus didn't write a book on theology, and the devil said, why don't you make these stones into bread? He said, it's written, he said, you man shall not live by bread alone. He said, hey, I got something else I'm living on. And if I die by fasting, I'm still living. Just get out of this old cesspool body. Well, his body wasn't no cesspool, but we talk about you and me. Well, I tell you what, why don't you cast yourself down? Be a big name. Be a big shot. Do something great. Why? He said, that's tempting God. How is he tempting God? By falling for the same thing Moses fell for, glorifying himself. People glorify themselves. See? Put their two bits in, this and that. Pay low key. Honor, prefer your brother. And he said to him, what? He said, I tell you what. He said, why don't you worship me? That's what he would have been doing if he'd done the other two. Now Satan comes right out of the woodwork and says, well, why don't you look at it? I'm asking you to worship me. Listen to my word. That's exactly what Cain did. That's what he did. She and she right there became hybridized. See? Mine's very important. So we got to accept what the prophet said. Or say, I don't understand something. I'm doing my best to break it down 15,000 ways almost. For your good and for my good. Now, he said the old denominational traditional veil has been rent, so it can be manifested. It's manifested that what the churches have is nothing but tradition, evil, malice, envy, murder, corruption, wrath, ignominious, shame, judgment. But unto us we have joy, peace, love, honor, goodness, glory, all of these things. It's been manifested what God is. See what I mean? Tradition says all these things, those things are past. What those things? Let us think in a bit. He said, what those things? Let's read and find out. But in the last day, now he's going to tell you what they don't believe for this last day. That traditional veil has been rent apart, and here stands the pillar of fire. And anybody say, here stands the pillar of fire. Yeah. What do you mean, pillar of fire? Dr. So-and-so, is there a pillar of fire? Well, he said, we don't need no pillar. We don't, pardon me, I got a chain. He don't say no pillar of fire. That'd be wrong. We don't need any pillar of fire. We say our amens and our amens just exactly right. And I want to tell you, from my great theological background and my hundreds and hundreds of years of study, which I didn't do, but my great fathers before me did, and I read the book, I want to tell you that pillar of fire is nonsense. Because we don't need it. See, this here book, I want to tell you something. Our ancestors, for years and years, these southern gentlemen, see, oh, they're sweet, soft-spoken, they got their... Well, we'll go back to being a Yankee, maybe. I can't talk like a New Yorker. Talk like Canadians. We got this great book because that's where I got it. This book is finished. There was a time, yes, when Elijah was necessary. But not today. Because, you see, we believe. They believe in three gods. But they don't need it. That's what Brother Branham says. Let that soak. The things that are past. There's no pillar of fire anymore. See, here he is manifesting the word for this day. How? God in a prophet. Vindicated. See? The veil is rent. Oh, they said. Your veil is rent, you nut. Shows you're an idiot. Why, what school did you come from, jerk? You have the seventh grade education. You're going to go out there and do the thing? He said, that's what he said, and I'm saying it. Let me just get you something here. How's our tape doing? A few minutes then? A couple minutes? Okay. Let's just read these two verses here. Matthew 10, 26, 27. Fear them not, therefore, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be made known or known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light, and what you hear in the ear, preach not stop. That's exactly a prophet. It's all covered in hidden veils. He doesn't stand up there and not tell you, folk, we're going to have a great ceremony. Bless God. Hallelujah. He said, this morning, hallelujah. Now, raise that. Did you stand by and hear this word? Glory to God. Well, that is a barker at a county carnival. I mean, some Pentecostal preacher getting his dander up and lather up so he can astound the people. I'm telling you, he gets by himself and God speaks. Like with Moses and the rest, and he comes out and tells. And the seals were not a darkened room. The blinds were down, the lights were on. And what God spoke in his ear has been shouted from the housetop. Servant of God. That's how this word comes, brother, sister. Veiled in a man, absolutely. Yes, sir. That's he said. Now the world don't believe it. No matter what. They don't see it. They don't see it wasn't sent to them. I want to ask you a question. To whom did Brother Branham come? Why did he come? Who sent him? Who sent him in whose stead? What did he have to bring? Why did he have to bring it? I ask you a question, did he bring it? Did it do the work? Or did God's plans fail? Now there's your answer right there, why we're talking the way we're talking on this message and taking our time minute by minute. I don't care if it takes the next 18 sermons, I'm not going to budge from it. I'm nervous, you bet I am. It makes me very tense knowing I'm dragging my feet, so to speak. And I'd have ready for 12 pages this morning. 12 pages went down the drain, one paragraph. And that's enough. One paragraph. Saturday, Wednesday, I don't know. That's up to whatever happens. The Lord bless you. Let's stand and rise. Rise at this time and dismiss ourselves. Heavenly Father, again, we say earnestly, sincerely, we cannot praise thee enough, O God, for your love and your mercy, Lord. There's just no end of it. We think we see certain things, and we do, Lord, and come right back and see them all the more clearly, all the more indelibly in the Scripture there, Lord, knowing therefore, my God, that we are part of this Word because we respond to it now, Heavenly Father. As we said this morning, we don't have any fear of the stature of perfect man anymore. We believe it, O God. We just only hope and trust, Heavenly Father, that there is enough of us, of you in us, Lord God, that so thoroughly identified that these things we arrogate unto ourselves, Lord, by having listened and having been a part of it in a sense of the word, Lord. Father God in heaven, we pray therefore that stature will be ours. But we know this one thing for sure. If it is not ours, we saw one in whom it was. And there will be those who have it, Lord. It may be that we're misunderstanding the full implication of it, Lord. It may be that we'll not rise to that place of a completionist, as we know that until we're mortalized, there's no such thing as perfection this side of the resurrection. We know that. But Lord, we don't want to fall short of any promise of God. We don't want to, Lord, under any consideration, because that is not exactly what the Exodus truth was. It said they seemed to come short or felt in their hearts that they were missing it, and it wasn't part of it. Lord, we are a part of it. We are not missing it, Lord, but we are very, very hungry to see in our lives a standard that your word has declared of Christ living in us. As Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And Lord, our plea this morning is that Christ life and that faith get together in us, Lord. Not that we want to be somebody, heaven forbid, Lord, you know our hearts, but that we might be what you want us to be and what we see there in that great, that in the potential now and in the great reality of this hour, because there is that image that not only do we see in the Word, but we shall become. Father, we know that this is true in this hour. We believe it, Father. Or something is greatly remiss. And we don't believe it is remiss, Lord. We believe that man is. We just haven't got in harmony yet to the great conductor of the great song, the great opera, the great drama. Help us, Lord, to get in that perfect harmony this morning and the oneness of attitude and mind, and rest and have peace of it. O living God, tonight, have pity on us.